This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. When I started thinking about what has made this program so special for me, one of the first things to come to mind is the music. We've presented dozens of amazing local and national musicians and talked to them about the creative process. For my final musical guest, though, there was really only one choice. Singer-songwriter Kate Callahan is a friend. She's also one of the first musicians to play on Where We Live. She's also a thoughtful and a kind person who cares about Connecticut as much as I do. This year, she was given the honor that fits her better than anyone. She's Connecticut's 16th state troubadour. She's playing tonight at Bridge Street Live in Collinsville on a program called Women of Folk with a former Connecticut state troubadour, Lara Herskovich. This hour, Kate and I will talk about what this new role means for her. We'll remember a concert we did together following the shootings at Sandy Hook, and we'll talk about how music can bring us all together. As you will hear, this last concert with a dear friend whose music is so powerful was a bit emotional for me. She started with the song Connecticut Roads.
Well, I was born to a family of four. We told jokes. We sang in the car. With the windows down in summer, spring and fall, we sang songs to feel who we were. And we drove Connecticut roads. And we'd sing until we got home. Well, sis and I saw the future bright from the top of Talkin Mountains green. So she left home, she went overseas, and I mounted stages to sing. And lifting off out of Bradley Field, over homes, farms and growing trees, well, I could see the roads where I come from and why my home is where I want to be. And I love Connecticut roads. And I sing until certain roads bend back and forth and become trials. And other roads lead to the truth and save our smiles. And I went searching for a city skyline, ended up in the heart of Hartford, of a city growing all the time like me. This is where I've gotten my start. Now I see friends on the road of life, and this road is everything we've known, of jobs and health, finding love of self. We do it here in this place we call home. And we love Connecticut roads. And we sing all the way home.
Kate Callahan on Where We Live. Welcome back to the show, Kate.
Thank you so much.
That's a beautiful song. Can you tell us about that song?
I'd love to. Yeah, I
applied to be Connecticut State Troubadour in January, and the application required writing an original Connecticut song. I had applied 4 years before and had attempted to write an anthem for Connecticut and sort of file and catalog all the landmarks I could in the song. And you know what? I wasn't selected 4 years ago. And so this year I decided I was going to take a much more personal approach to writing a Connecticut song. And they loved it.
And I'm glad they loved it, and they should have loved it. It's a beautiful song. And what's interesting about it, too, is as I listen to it is, on our show, we talk a lot about how Connecticut, from the outside, and then also quite often inside, it kind of gets and we give ourselves a bad rap. Like we don't necessarily celebrate the things that we love about the place in maybe the way we should. And it seems like you're getting to some of that in the song.
I introduced this song a couple weekends ago at a performance, saying I've had a love-hate relationship with Connecticut for all my life. I've lived here almost all of my life, and so it's not a matter of writing a glowing or whitewashed song about Connecticut. It's just for me, it's an approach to expressing where I am right now in terms of this environment that supports me and offers me resource and rest and activity, and also a sense of where our greater community is.
What's that love-hate relationship been like? I mean, what's the love, what's the hate in there?
Well, certainly if you look at the span of my life, I was a typical teenager and couldn't wait to get out of Connecticut. Where did I go for college? New Jersey. And so not too far and not too different. But I think as an artist, there's certainly been a struggle. I've been working for 15 years. And there have been waves and years where the culture around the arts culture has felt maybe drier some years and less electric, and so there's certainly has been opportunity for me to lament things that are happening around me and with me. You know, it's hard to not have my surroundings reflect what's actually happening in me. And so, like I say in the song, I landed in Hartford. It's a city. It's growing all the time, like me, with our flaws and our delights.
It's interesting too, because my wife comes from a state that in many ways has some of the same issues as Connecticut does with its identity. She comes from West Virginia, and there's a very famous song written about West Virginia roads, you might know. And the people of West Virginia, I mean, it truly is something that they love that John Denver song.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why. It's like it takes them home.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to have a hard time talking to you, Kate, today. I'm sorry.
I wanted to say something.
Yeah.
I was reflecting on you and the show over the years and what I've come to appreciate, being able to turn on the dial and hear your program at 9 in the morning. And I think this moment reflects that. You are a gracious listener. And so I have always come to understand that you take in what's being shared from microphone to microphone. And the heart of a person, the heart of a subject, the heart of an issue is often arrived at through those organic moments that can only happen when someone like you is truly listening. And you offer us a talk radio show, but I celebrate your listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Listening is important. What I found is it's a hell of a lot harder and a better thing to do than talking. You get into radio because you want to talk on the radio, and you realize that being good at it is actually listening to people. So thank you. I'm talking with Kate Callahan. She's my friend, and she's also the Connecticut State Troubadour. We're going to be hearing some of her music, and we're going to be talking more about this new role that she has here on Where We Live. In case you don't know what Kate's talking about, soon I will be turning over the chair of this program to Lucy Nalpathanchil and going on to some other things here on the station. But one of the things I will say about the state troubadour job is in a lot of ways, Kate, when you told me about this, it feels like the sort of work that we do here. I mean, you're going to get out and about and you're going to meet tons and tons of people. You already know thousands of people in the state. But it sounds like this job is really going to get you out on the road and talking to people. Tell me about what's in this job. What's in store for you here?
Well, a lot of the job is self-created. And one of the things I want to do is to produce a short maybe a weekly or biweekly segment. I'm thinking about calling it Troubadour Tracks or Troubadour Trails. And so the idea would be to go in with a camera a couple hours ahead of a show that I'm playing in any town in Connecticut. And so I have many, many shows booked in many towns, and I hope to play in all of the towns by, you know, by March of 2018. But we want to go in and go to the favorite local diner, stop into the library, stop into the deli mart, and talk with people and really find out what's unique and worth shining a light on in these towns. And then kind of intermix that with a song from the show that I would play that evening in the town. So this Troubadour Tracks idea, for me, it adds meaning to the job of being state troubadour. I want to know people. I want to know, and I want to write music that's inspired by the life that goes on around us.
I'm always thinking about how many towns I've actually been. Have you been to all 169 towns?
I have not.
And this is, I mean, this would be a good goal for you, right?
Yeah.
Hitting the Connecticut roads and trying to get to as many as possible. How did you end up with the job of Connecticut State Troubadour? It's a process where there's a nomination. Who nominated you?
My husband. Who else?
Who else?
Yeah, actually, the funny thing was we were doing our monthly budget. It was the end of December, I think, and it was about 20 minutes to midnight, and we had the laptop open, doing the budget, finishing up the budget, and I said to him out loud, you know, I wonder if that Troubadour application is coming up this year. And I opened up the webpage, and I looked, and it said, you must be nominated by 11:59 p.m. on December 3rd, whenever it was. Maybe it was early January, January 4th, and we looked at each other and we said, we have 20 minutes to do this. Let's write a nomination letter, send it, and that was it. It was kind of destined.
Yeah, and truly, that you just saw that.
Yeah.
And you're the 16th Connecticut State Troubadour, and we've talked to others in the past. And this notion that the state would have someone assigned the role of being a cultural ambassador to sing songs and to listen to people, that's a fairly remarkable thing, isn't it? I mean, just that notion that we care enough to actually listen and then, you know, turn it into song.
It is remarkable, and we're one of the only states in the nation that does this. I was talking to Bonnie Koba at the Connecticut Office of the Arts, and she was saying that this position is legislated. There are, you know, hard and fast roles and rules about this. This particular position. And so I look forward to getting to know, you know, every angle I can in terms of how to be a troubadour and what not only I would like to accomplish in this, but what people would like to hear from the state troubadour.
You have a goal of bringing therapeutic music programs to female inmates. Can you talk more about that?
I can. You know my history with the song Two Doors, which was the title track to my 2012 release. And it talks about – there's a song that talks about not viewing the prison population as other. And in kind of a roundabout way, the song talks about that. And so I've had this – kind of had this spiritual experience years ago where I woke up and my mind had been changed about capital punishment. My mind had been changed about viewing prison population as other. My mind had been changed about free will and compassion. And so all these years I've been wanting to have access to the prisons. I just never thought – anyone would give it to me. And as soon as I got the call that I was going to be state troubadour, I knew it was, you know, kind of like an electric moment inside me. I knew I would now have a platform to get into the prisons work with the female inmates, and there's already people doing such tremendous work with this population. I just hope to fill in a gap that exists.
Yeah, we've talked to some of the amazing artists who've had access, I think, to some of these women's lives and really turned around some lives. I mean, some incredibly creative work has come out of the artistic programs, the dance programs, the theater programs, and I feel like this is something that really music could add to. What do you need to make this successful? Is this something that's going to require a lot of money and time? I mean, what do you need to make this happen?
I will be applying for grants. So, yeah, I will need, you know, I'll need to support myself while doing this kind of work. And I'm getting the good fortune of sitting down with Judy Dworin in the middle of May and hopefully just taking in her wisdom in terms of how to create a successful program like this. I don't intend to mimic or recreate anything that's been done, but I'm excited to, you know, the thing for me is that these women have had their resources stripped away from them through, you know, sometimes fault of their own. And my desire is to remind them that they will always have one resource, and that is their voice. And so I really want to work with empowering the voice. Hmm.
You are on another campaign, though, right now. This is an interesting campaign. I know you've gotten some coverage around this, and this is fascinating. So I don't know personally very much about the show Gilmore Girls. I understand it's a very popular program, and I understand that it has a very close Connecticut connection. So you've been leading a campaign, and this is, I'm sure, bolstered by your new role as Connecticut State Troubadour, to try to get on this program. Can you tell me about this? Because this is fascinating to me, Kay. This is a whole world I don't know anything about.
This is so cool. Well, John, like you, I didn't know anything about Gilmore Girls prior to a post that appeared on my website when I announced my troubadour appointment. And the post was from an advisor I'd had at Central Connecticut State University. His name is Gil Gelati, and he's an English professor.
I know Gil pretty well.
And Gil said, troubadour, Connecticut State troubadour, you need to get in touch with the executive producers of the Gilmore Girls ASAP and get yourself on the reboot, because they're releasing another series of episodes for Netflix. So I thought, you know, John, these things happen on Facebook, and sometimes you kind of throw them out and
sure, yeah.
Take them with a grain of salt. And this one I felt like I should follow for no other reason than it would be fun. And so I started binge watching the show, and it's delightful, and I love it. And they do a fairly good job of recreating Connecticut and even referencing actual landmarks and sites in Connecticut's environment. So I was able to get a hold of the rep for Amy Sherman Palladino, who's the executive producer and the writer and creator of the show. I have not gotten a response from her rep, but I've had a lot of fun preparing, you know, things I would say if I actually got to be on the phone with her, or and I've been sending her nice emails suggesting that wouldn't it be wonderful for the authenticity of the show to feature the actual Connecticut State Troubadour in some way, shape, or form.
Maybe singing that song you just sang for us. Why not?
Why not?
The town is Stars Hollow. Do I have that right?
That's right.
So this is not a real town. Do we know where it's supposed to be? Is it standing in for anything in particular?
I think it's about 40 minutes outside of Hartford.
Okay, good. Everything's 40 minutes outside of Hartford. That narrows it down. Well, I mean, we'll put more information on our website, WNPR.org/where we live. If you want to find out more about Kay Callahan's campaigns, not only as the new state troubadour, but also this campaign to get on Gilmore Girls. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear more music from our friend Kay Callahan. She was one of our first musical guests on Where We Live. We wanted her to be our final one before I turn over the show to someone else. It's really important that I do that with someone that I really enjoy and appreciate. And so we're going to hear more of her music in just a moment here on Where We Live.
When it's always the same. It's always the same.
This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Today in the program, we're talking with Kate Callahan. She's a singer-songwriter who was recently named the 16th Connecticut State Troubadour by the Connecticut Office of the Arts. She's been on the program a number of times before, and we're thrilled to have her back playing some music in studio and talking a bit about what it means to be Connecticut State Troubadour. We're going to hear another song. What's the song, and tell us about it, if you would.
I'd love to. This song I wrote last year. The mayor of Hartford at the time declared April 19th, Look for the Good Day. And we had a celebration at the Pond House in Elizabeth Park to commemorate this event. Months ahead of the event, I was commissioned by a nonprofit organization called the Center for Serenity to write a song for the occasion. So I got to debut it that night with a gospel choir.
Wow.
And it was fabulous. And what I do now when I play this in live at my shows is I have the audience be the gospel choir.
Wow.
For now, I'll sing it myself.
That's right. Trust me, you don't want me singing behind you. Very poor idea.
This is Look for the Good.
Inspired time.
grace, involve, invite, inspire. It's time.
That's Kate Callahan. She's the state troubadour, and she's singing some songs for us here on Where We Live and talking to us about her music. It's a beautiful song. Where do you start a song like that? What's the first thing that happens to start that song?
The guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was, you know, commissioned to write a song called Look for the Good, or about Look for the Good. And I started with a blues slide. And I thought, a blues? How's that going to work?
Yeah, yeah.
But it started with that. Yeah, it started with the blues slide and turned out to be, you know, one of those blues formats that lends itself to anthemic inspiration and positivity and optimism.
But how do you get to that point? I mean, what's the thing you build on? So you start with the guitar and the blues slide, and then you build on that, and you know you have a goal in mind, right? There's a song that you're trying to write and a goal you're trying to get to. And maybe this is different than the way you'd write another song that would come from another place, but take me on that journey from that first note to where you go.
Well, that first note, that first slide, those first series of chords start to create an atmosphere. And so a lot of my process is atmospheric, and I know I speak for many artists or songwriters who work this way too. It's like you let the guitar create the mood, create the atmosphere and the environment and the kind of cadence and rhythm, and you feel that until you get inspired to sing something about it. And so I'll sit in my studio and play those chords over and over and over again. And one of the tests for me is in the process of playing these chords over and over again, do I bore of them? Do I get tired of them? Do they inspire movement in my body? You know, so there's all these kind of qualities that you're either looking for or you're looking to throw out. And from there, then the lyrics start to sprout, and they come kind of in fits and starts. And sometimes I scribble them down on paper. Sometimes I get a laptop out and actually, you know, pull the laptop onto my lap and start writing. But yeah, it's really about a mood and a feeling and a way of being inspired by something that's coming from the instrument.
And in this song, you are clearly inspired by nature and by natural things and by growth, I assume human growth, but also just literally the growth of plants. Tell me about that. How did you get to that point?
Well, I was asked to use Elizabeth Park as an inspiration for the song. And so I had gotten married in Elizabeth Park and have spent many an afternoon or evening in Elizabeth Park over my lifetime. So it was very natural for me to just be filled by all the growth that we see in cycles in Elizabeth Park. You know, you come to know what you'll find in October or in June or, you know, or in February. You living here a long time, you know, the cycles and the growth is something that reminds me of my own fluidity as a human being, and wow, well, the daffodils are here in Elizabeth Park. What's coming from me?
Yeah. It reminds me of what we were talking about before, your notion that it's important to you to get inside of prisons and talk to and play with and help women who are behind bars find their voice. The notion of being inspired by nature is something that we often hear applied to maybe kids who don't get a chance to be around nature very much, or people who are maybe caught between four walls. And just even the way you describe that, it really makes a strong argument for putting people into nature, for putting people into situations that might inspire them to some better action than the ones that they've had. And if nothing else, it makes a really good case for just getting the kids in the car and taking them to Elizabeth Park, you know?
Yeah, I do know. And I have a number of songs that touch on the beauty of nature. And I hope that for those people sitting in my audiences who are stuck between four walls or who work with children who are don't have access to it, I hope that the songs inspire whatever that effort is that's needed to change that.
And speaking of walls, the crumbling of 1,000 walls is by design. Tell me about that.
My favorite lyric of the song.
Mine too. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I was talking about the mood and the motivation of writing, and sometimes the writing will inspire lyrics that you didn't even know you had in you. I just felt like in the big picture of writing a song for Hartford and for the Look for the Good project and this sense of looking for the good, it felt like, well, we can't see the good when there are walls. We just can't. It's awfully hard. And so this feeling, I remember getting chills thinking of the crumbling of 1,000 walls is by design. These walls are meant to come down.
I want to talk about another moment that we had on the show together. Obviously, a couple of years ago, the terrible events of Sandy Hook happened on a Friday. And it was strange. Of all the things that we did over the course of that next week, we spent a lot of time talking to many, many people about guns and about violence and about mental health and about children and about education, and we were part of a big national conversation that was happening at the time. But we were trying to figure out for the 1 week anniversary of that event, Governor Malloy had asked for the church bells to chime at 9:30 and for there to be a moment of silence, the moment at which this had happened the week before. And I thought, my goodness, that's in the middle of my show. How could we have another conversation that we would pause in the middle of? What would the conversation be that would be good enough to be around that? So instead, I got together with Tucker Ives, my producer, and Gene Amatruda, our operations director, and said, well, what if we put on a concert in a church at the same time? And I talked first to two people who I know pretty well who play very different types of music. I talked to Stephen Haynes, the great jazz trumpeter, who's an improviser, and I talked to Kate Callahan, because these are two of the people who I thought would feel what I was feeling that day. And we put together a concert in like a week, Kate. It was kind of amazing. And we had Goodnight Blue Moon. We had Nicole Zoraitis came up from New York, amazing jazz pianist. We had jazz musicians. We had classical musicians. We had folk musicians. And I said at the time it was the best thing I ever put on the radio, and not just because it was a concert at a time when people needed something like that, but just the amazing ability for all these musicians to get together. It made me feel very good about the artistic scene and the community that you're a part of. Do you remember that time?
I do remember that time. And when you say it's the best thing you've ever put out on the radio, that stirs me, because what a difficult thing to produce that. What a difficult thing that happened in our culture, in our community, in our society, in our country, that produced such a beautiful tribute. I was shaking through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And felt like I was singing on a microphone that could be heard out on Jupiter. I remember that feeling.
and it was mostly an empty room too. We didn't gather a crowd for that day. I would love for you to play the song that you played that day, if we can both make it through it. You played your version of Amazing Grace, which is a beautiful thing. I will say that we're talking with my friend Kate Callahan, who is state troubadour. She was just recently named the 16th Connecticut State Troubadour by the Connecticut Office of the Arts. Her work is well known to many people across the state, but it will be more well known as she goes around the state talking to more people and playing more music. We're talking here on Where We Live, and Kate's been good enough to come in and bring her guitar and talk with us a bit and play some music.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And oh, Ave, Ave Maria, well, the light's on, but we can't see you. And oh, Ave, Ave Maria. Oh, rest now, love, and go on home. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already. Was grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And oh, Ave, Ave Maria, well, the light's on, but we can't see you. And oh, Ave, Ave Maria, now love, and go on home. Though we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we ways to sing us praise than when we'd first begun. And oh, Ave, Ave Maria, well, the light's on, but we can't see you. And oh, Ave, Ave Maria, rest now, love, and go on home.
Kate Callahan here on Where We Live. That's a beautiful song, Amazing Grace, playing and talking with us here in our Studio 3. Before we take a break, first of all, thank you for playing that. What is it about music that is the thing that we need when something terrible happens, like when we have to come together? Because since that time when you played that at the concert, there have been so many other terrible things that have happened in the world and so many other occasions for us to get together. What is it you think that music does to bring us together?
Well, I think it softens. Mm. And I think it pierces, you know, these two kind of opposite qualities that it has. It touches, and it gives value to our experience, you know, and a value that is not something we count or quantify, but a value that's measured in memory. And I think music helps us create those memories.
That's very well put. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear some more songs from Kay Callahan. We're going to talk more about what it means to be the state troubadour. And there's no better state troubadour for the state of Connecticut than Kay Callahan. We'll be right back.
In a bird's nest, in a mountain song, in an aftershock that rises up to remind us, keep.
This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on Monday's show, we're going to listen back to a conversation with the senior advisor and vice president of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, Dr. Gail Christopher. She was in Hartford for a program that was hosted by us and the Connecticut Health Foundation. We're going to talk about health equity and access and find out why place is so important to individual and community well-being. Hope you can join us. Today on the show, we're visiting with Kay Callahan. She's a local singer-songwriter who was recently named the 16th state troubadour by the Connecticut Office of the Arts. In that role, she's going to be doing a lot of traveling and performing across the state. She's got a gig coming up tonight at 8 o'clock at Bridge Street Live in Collinsville. It's called Women of Folk with a former Connecticut State Troubadour, Lara Herskovich. She's also performing tomorrow, May 7th, at the Funky Monkey Cafe in Cheshire, and on Friday, May 20th, at the Buttonwood Tree in Middletown. So you're also starting your own record label on top of everything else?
Yeah, out of necessity. I over the past couple of years, I felt the isolation of being an independent artist, and I spent a good part of 2014 and 2015 playing with a band, playing with Echo Joy, and then as schedules changed and desires and needs changed, I turned back to solo performing, and I really felt when I was given the troubadour position that I could do a better job of really fulfilling this role if I had the hearts and minds and ideas coming from a number of people. And so it occurred to me, well, maybe there are some people who would have fun getting in on this troubadour thing and participate in it in a way. And so I did put out a call to my mailing list and my Facebook page and asking for people who would be interested in volunteering a small bit of their time throughout the 2 years that I'm troubadour in coming together and really, really expanding what this role is. And we had our first meeting on April 7th down at the Reset Entrepreneurial Center, co-working space, and I had 10 people there. I mean, 10 people that were sitting there just on behalf of me. It was a delight, and I laugh at myself. It meant so much to me. I prepared an entire PowerPoint for the presentation, and it just meant so much to me that people were taking their time on my behalf.
It's such an interesting experience too. But you're still touring. I mean, you're heading out on the road, and you're playing some shows outside of Connecticut as well.
That's right. Yeah, early May I'll be down, or I am down, in Florida and Georgia and South Carolina, which are places where I have been building an audience and building a new community. And so I love taking my songs on the road, and now I go on the road as Connecticut State Troubadour. So I hope to leave people in other states with a sense of place in terms of Connecticut through my songs, through what I share. It's very exciting for me. I love feeling a part of this state.
Has this new job, has it changed anything about your ability to spread your music far and wide? Are you getting people calling you up and saying, hey, Kay Callahan, I didn't hear about you before, but now I'd like you to play a show for me?
That's absolutely happening, John.
Yeah.
It's what an independent musician dreams of, is the bookings that come rolling into your inbox without you soliciting them. And I've been trying to oblige everyone that I can and hope to spread spread music and cultural literacy here in Connecticut, but also beyond these state lines.
What does cultural literacy mean to you?
Well, I had to ask myself that, and and that's where my idea for Troubadour Tracks comes in. I want to immerse myself in the culture of these towns that we live in and these cities that we live in. And do I know anything and everything about Connecticut? No, absolutely not. But I figured by talking to the people who live across this state, I could virtually become a purveyor of cultural literacy by making these vlogs, these video blogs, and sharing what I'm learning about our state with people who have, you know, 5 minutes to spare and watch a video.
You're going to play one final song for us. Can you tell us what the song is before we hear it?
I'd love to. It's a new song, and I wanted to play it today because having been a guest on your show many times and having listened to your show many more times than that, it really occurs to me as you are moving on that you have been a friend to your audience. And I think sitting here with you today with emotions flowing, your friends out there listening give you space to have your experience as you leave this position that you've so defined for us and set such a wonderful precedent for. We are your friends. You are our friend. And I happened to write a song about 6 weeks ago called Good Friends.
So that does sound like a good way to end. I'll tell you what, we'll end the show with that. And I will just say thank you, my friend. Thank you for coming in once again. Kate Callahan, here on Where We Live.
Gypsies and fools, they show up again and again. My friends were born and raised without any handbook or need to be praised. We all turn into children and become the innocent. We grow up again and again. And we have these days where we meet, 'cause the friendships need fuel, and the boxed wine is cheap, and we bear it all to be free. Tell the truth, laugh it off like a good born. And my friends change the rain into drops of champagne. What's a life without good friends? What's a life without good friends? Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you so much.